This week, of course, we've got the Fed meeting in the US, and at this stage, whilst there's been some speculation that the Fed could cut by 50 basis points, I think more likely they'll cut by 25, so that would take the upper end of their Fed funds rate down to 5.25% from 5.5%. But before I talk more about that one, just going back to last week and some of the factors which sort of allow them to start the cutting process. Key one was the release of the August CPI, and it came in as expected, up 0.2% for the headline rate, and that brought the annual rate of inflation in the US down to 2.5% from 2.9%. So it is sort of closing in on the Fed's 2% target. But against that, core inflation still holding a bit higher than that. So the core CPI, once you strip out factors such as volatile food prices and energy prices, that came in slightly higher than expected at 0.3%, market was looking for 0.2%, and that left the annual rate of change just steady at 3.2%. Why the core is so important is that, as the one-offs really start to even themselves out over time, it's more likely that inflation, the headline CPI, migrates more towards the core rate rather than where it's sitting at the moment. So, really, US inflation is still stickyish, or underlying inflation is stickyish, a little bit above 3%. And that's why I think the Fed's not going to go 50 basis points this week. It'll only go the quarter. One or two of the other figures that came out last week, we had the initial jobless claims for the most recent week. They actually got slightly weaker. They went to 230,000 from 228,000. That's still actually relatively low and is still indicative of a relatively tight labour market. Remembering that you go back 2 or 3 months ago, we were running around the 250,000, 260,000 mark. So if anything, things have actually tightened a bit as far as the labour market is concerned over the last 5 or 6 weeks. Right at the end of the week, too, we got the September Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, the first read of this, and slight improvement up to 68.3 from 67.9, so just a little bit of an improvement running through there. Moving to this week, and as I say, the Fed comes up on Wednesday. We'll hear the result on Thursday morning. And also, we'll get all those dot points of where the Fed governors and presidents think that interest rates are going to be over the next year or two. At this stage, as I say, I think they'll do a quarter, and there'll still be an indication that they'll come down relatively slowly. It's going to be a pretty gradual affair. Whilst they feel that they've got the ability to start to bring rates down, it won't be a particularly fast rate or fast pace of easing. And that's significant really for us, because when you look at it, if they do 25 basis points this week, that'll bring the funds rate down to 5.25%. Their headline inflation rate on the most recent CPI is 2.5%. So that means that the real interest rate is still 2.75%. If you compare that with us, we're at 4.35% for our cash rate, and our most recent inflation reading, the monthly one, which came down a bit to 3.5%, we're only at 0.85% for the real interest rate. And that explains in volumes why it's going to take us a lot longer to get into the interest rate cutting process than is occurring there in the US. Just some of that data, too, that comes out before the Fed and the reason why they should go slowly. We have things like August retail sales coming out. Last month, we had strong growth running through retail sales. In July, retail sales in the US were up 1%. They're expected to be up another 0.2% for the current month. That's pretty firm over the 2 months. And core retail sales are up 0.4% going back to July. Expect to be up another 0.3% for the most recent monthly reading. Also, we get things like housing starts, building permits, National Association of Home Builders Index, and all of those just looking a little bit firmer for the most recent month. So housing starts are expected to lift about 1%, building permits about 0.3%, and a very slight improvement running through the National Association of Home Builders Index too, to probably 40 from 39. So some of those figures just ahead of the FOMC meeting, still pointing to a reason why the Fed should go relatively slowly. And moving now to China, and it's a different position really in China. Strange things happening there. We had the announcement last week that they're lifting their retirement age. Given that the one thing they need to do in China is to get people spending more freely and to get retail sales running much more strongly to contribute to economic growth, the last thing the Chinese want at this stage is a lift in the prospective retirement age, because that's just going to make them want to save even more, because they know they're going to have to be working longer. They know that there's a chance that they're going to be unemployed too. Some of the comments that came out from China when that was announced were from older people who said, look, how can I compete against young people? If I've got to stay in the workforce, I'm going to be stuck with no real unemployment benefits. I'm going to be unemployed because the chances are I won't be able to stay in work through that period. So, strange announcement that came through there from the Chinese government through the course of last week. And the data that came through still suggests an economy that's struggling. We had the August CPI came out. It was up only 0.4% month on month. The annual rate of change only lifted slightly to 0.6% from 0.5%. That's still quite indicative of an economy which has got too much supply of goods and services relative to demand. And producer prices reflected that even more so. They're still falling in China. And producer prices went from minus 0.8% year on year, going back to July, to minus 1.8% for the month of August. That's very much indicative of an economy with excess supply. One area that the Chinese are hoping they can get some lift to economic growth is going back to the old one of trade, international trade, and particularly some of their advantages in things like electric motor vehicles and those sorts of things. And true, exports did lift a bit. So exports went up to 8.7% year on year from 7%. But these look like facing headwinds over time because many other countries are putting large tariffs in place to try and stop Chinese Chinese goods getting into their market. So it's going to be problematic, that one. And on the import side, indicative of really slow demand for goods inside China, import growth slowed dramatically from 7.2% year on year down to only 0.5% year on year. Sometime today, we should get a lot of the regular Chinese indicators coming out. And there we've got August fixed asset investment spending. That's probably come back, we think, to 3.5% year on year from 3.6, so pretty soft. August industrial production, we think there's probably been a decline there too, or a moderation to only 4.7% year on year from 5.1%. And the problems in steelmaking are well known and feeding through to fairly soft iron ore prices internationally as well from time to time. We'll also get August retail sales, and rather than going up, that looks as if that probably moderated to 2.5% year on year from 2.7%. They need that somehow. They've got to lift that to well above 7-8% year on year to give them any hope of getting a top side of 4, let alone a 5% GDP growth rate, which is where they're trying to aim as they go through the course of this year, but without the sorts of incentives coming through from government policy support that's going to allow that to happen. We also get August house prices come out today out of China. They were down 4.9% year on year. It's a fairly safe bet there's going to be a minus five handle on the figure when it comes out. So that obviously is hurting middle class wealth. And is one of the key factors which is tending to suppress demand in China as well. And we'll also get the August unemployment rate. These figures tend to be pretty manufactured. But it was interesting last month that they showed a jump to 5.2% from 5.0 the month before. So even the authorities can't mask the fact that the unemployment rate is going up in China and is becoming problematic. We do have the People's Bank of China meeting later in the week, and you know, people don't expect them to do anything. They're sort of caught in the headlights at the moment. But you know, by rights, they should be dropping their interest rates there. Not that they will help much, but currently the deposit rate there is at 3.85%. And, of course, remembering that the inflation rate is only 0.6%, that gives you a real interest rate of 3.25%. You know, it's way, way too restrictive for the problems being faced by an economy like China. So not much hope there really for better news from China for the time being. On the Australian side, last week it was mostly sentiment data that came out. So we had NAB business conditions and business confidence. There is some slippage in this. So in August we came back on business conditions to +3 from +6. That still means there's more optimists than pessimists, but it's not as good as it has been. And business confidence slipped quite a bit to -4 from +1. Also, in terms of Westpac consumer sentiment, we got that for the month of September. The month before, we had quite a nice lift to 2.8%, up 2.8%. This month, we gave up, and we had a fall of 0.5%, so it's still bumping along at pretty low levels as far as consumer sentiment is concerned. This week, though, we come to the part of the economy which is running way too strongly still, and that's the labour market. It's still very, very tight, and we get the August employment figure coming out. Yeah, we've had back-to-back 50,000 plus increases in employment over the previous 2 months. Much of it's public sector employment, much of it related to social areas, which is one of the reasons it's been racing away. It's also one of the reasons why we've got pretty low productivity change in Australia too, because productivity is always reckoned to be pretty small in the public sector areas. This month we're expecting another 30,000 increase in employment. Probably the participation rate holding at a high 67.1%. So the unemployment rate will be holding around that 4.2% level. Last week, we had the chief economist from the Reserve Bank talking about the tightness of the labour market and why it's still way too tight to allow confidence that inflation is going to come down as much as they might hope for. So another one of those signals from the Reserve Bank that, regardless of what people are doing overseas with interest rates coming down, we're not going to be in a position for quite a few months to think about any interest rate cuts. Then moving to Europe, and last week we did get another interest rate cut from the ECB. They have a number of official interest rates there. The one that's often looked at is the deposit rate. That came down from 3.75% to 3.25%. So it was quite a big decline there. They're obviously worried in Europe about softness of economic growth. The suspicion is though that this will slow up, because when we go into this week, we've got Q2 wages coming out for Europe. And going back to Q1, wage growth was +5.3%. It's expected to be around +5.1% for Q2. That's still way too high, and means that even though European inflation is coming down, at some point there's a chance it's going to rebound. But having said that, we did have the interest rate cut there last week. And we are expecting the Fed to cut rates this week. In some ways, a lot of that's already in the market, but it's one of those supports which is there as far as risk assets is concerned running through the course of this week. But as far as our central bank's concerned, we're going to be the odd man out. We're going to be a long time before we can think about cutting interest rates. We've still got way too sticky an inflation rate. We never lifted our interest rates high enough in the first place, in the way that they did overseas, so we've got much less capacity to start to bring interest rates down. If anything, that'll probably reflect a little bit in the currency, even though we've got commodity prices which are fairly soft at present. Interest differential is probably going to outweigh to some degree, and another problem we may face before long is probably an appreciating Australian dollar.